You don't have to feed them any of this stuff. Just be, let it be a kind of a bonus from God that He created the human race where it could exist in any environment. Now, I do not believe the Bible justifies teaching Ham as the father of the black race. I don't think God approves of that, because that's what the word "ben" makes that very evident. Nor do I believe the Bible justifies teaching Jacob, the man Israel, is the black race father. Now, that first excerpt I could find going back was in 1992, but I'm sure somebody else taught it before then, but that's the first I could find. And now, this is what the report said. Blacked out through whitewash, inferring that people didn't have it right. Part one, exposing the greatest cover-ups in his story. That's Jesus' story. He claims it's a cover-up by a man called Suzar. And he put in there, sections of this book may be copied as long as credit is given to the book or author. Well, I'm sure giving him credit. He's a raving maniac. He's about as much as a science as a waddler turtle. Now, here's what he wrote. This isn't what I wrote. Buddha was black. That's why his woolly hair is always shown in small, tight curls, peppercorn style, or cornrows. Now, I bet that man that taught them about Esau, I bet he didn't even tell them this, the guy who did it. But he was a black man. I saw his picture on there in a thing. Early scriptures of him clearly reveal his aphasoid features. Wide nose and full lips. This guy's a racist. So was Zaha of Japan, Fuhasi of Japan, Tyre of Scandinavia. Now, he's not talking about the color here. He's talking about the facial features. Now, this one is a dandy. Kuet Zalokai. I don't even know how to pronounce that, but I just do what I told Michael to do. Just read it and don't try to pronounce it again. Somanakon of Siam, and Iris of Egypt and Rome. Well, if you go across the world and you go up into Norway, you'll find some guy up there that's black, or somebody up there that's an albino. All I'm saying is that these things control what color you are. And if you move into an area, if you came up there from Africa, it would take centuries for you to ever start back to getting a lighter color. And it wouldn't be you, it would be your children. Now, Krishna of India was blue-black. In fact, this means black or the black one. He says, see dictionary. Depends on which dictionary. He is always portrayed with blue or blue-black skin. But nobody's ever seen him. I mean, how do they know that he's that way? Muhammad, founder of Islam, was also bluish in color with frizzy hair. His grandfather was black as the night. I don't know where they got that from. If they got it from the Quran, that's a pretty good indication it's wrong. Moses was black according to Mohammedan tradition and early portraits. This is wonderful. His hand would turn white, then back to his other flesh when God wished to give him a sign. So, Cooney, whoever told you that has been hoodwinked.
My daughter-in-law
had heard someone talk about it. She raised her curiosity, and she couldn't find anything on it. Well, there's not anything on it in the Bible. Now, I tell you what, if you want to, I recommend you give her one of these. Because, if I had a definite statement in there, where I could actually prove that when you move north, you turn white, and when you turn, I would teach it. But there is not one single thing where God described the change of skin color as you went north and as you went south. But I do know that God made Adam, And I do know that he equipped him to have a color and skin that would be conducive to good life where he was. And when they moved up into these areas, they had to change skin color or the vitamin D would have killed them. He says, once banned, the world's 16 crucified saviors by Kersey Graves reveals remarkable knowledge on this subject. The world's 16 crucified saviors, well, I'm glad he narrowed it down to 16, reveals remarkable knowledge on this subject, along with Apocalypsis by Godfrey Higgins and African Origin of the Major World Religions by Anand Sakaka, editors. Now, we're sitting here, and isn't that the most ridiculous thing you ever heard? That's more ridiculous than what the Mormons believe. Okay. Let me see. Now, this stuff here is so complicated. I'm just going to let you look down this thing and see how many times you see ultraviolet rays. Besides its role in defining ethnicity, in other words, I am of the Caucasian race, my ethnicity, he says, besides its role in defining ethnicity, melanin plays an essential role in defending the body against harmful ultraviolet rays and other environmental challenges. Minor changes in the physiological status of the human body or exposure to harmful external factors can affect pigmentation patterns either in transitory or permanent. Age spots manners. So, and if you look up here in the one above it, if you take time to read this, you'll say, well, good Lord, I don't understand this. Well, welcome to the club. Some of these terms in here I had never heard. I had to look them up. And I'm in the act of studying this thing for myself. But I do know that melanin changes the color of the skin over a period of time. So if you're in one area for a long time, and for, say 3,000 years, pretty soon, that original person back there that was black, you have a hard time seeing the black in him. And if you've ever noticed sometimes when a white woman marries a black man, sometimes you'll get a child that's white. But he has big lips, he has big ears, he has a big nose. But this pigmentation of the skin is something that God put in man as a protective thing. And sometimes I wonder, I don't say I'm teaching this, but I wonder, if God doesn't punish people for certain things, and if it isn't a result of something that displeases God, I'm not like God. I'm not all wise. I just know the world is in my lifetime. And I know I have seen more harm between black and white marriages, the outcome of them, that has caused their offspring to have more problems than Moody's got whatever. So this is a very delicate subject, and I doubt if I'm going to send this thing out on that thing back there, but I will eventually put it on the internet. I might as well get the whole thing out, what I believe and why I believe it. I would believe what I believe before I ever saw this, without this or anything else, any other proof. But I want people to understand that God does everything. And the reason you're alive is because God made his creation livable. God made his planet to be inhabited. Do you know that water reaches its maximum density at 4 degrees Celsius? You know why that's important? It sinks to the bottom. Warmer water comes up. You've got to to have water to drink. And when you live in a real cold climate where there's blizzards out there and you can't crack down through that ice, you say, well, I'll melt the snow out. You'll freeze out there while you're getting it. God made the earth so man could live on it. I did a series on that. I'm going to make some copies of that and put it over here for you to look at. Because it shows the compassion of God. And I love Leonard's word. God made the earth beneficial to man. And everything that he put together here, he knew man would spread, and he knew man would be better off with an adaptive body rather than confining men to one place on the earth. So, as I've studied these things, I've developed great admiration for God in every way. Not just by his power or his love and his compassion, but by his planning, by his knowing, by his making everything beneficial to man. You say, well, Brother Michael Murray, how does that help you? It makes me love him more. It makes me love him more because I say, good grief, he did that for me. He did that for me. And the only reason I'm sitting here alive is because of God. He gave me physical life through a chain through Adam, and he provided me with salvation because of my forefathers' sin, but I would have done the same thing. You say, well, you don't know that. I think I do. And so when I get up to heaven, I can't wait to serve him. I mean, if I have to crawl on my knees serving him, I don't care. I can't wait to serve him. I can't wait to serve him. And if I don't live in that city, I'll just enjoy serving him outside the city. And maybe some of those men that bring the gifts into the city will, maybe something in my life will be of some use to God that he's generated or created. It's hard to wait. It's hard to wait. So I'm going to let you read all this complicated stuff. And it's pretty plain that this melanin has a purpose. I know that God put it in there. And I know how it's interconnected in the epidermis, because I studied that in vertebrate zoology. Had a good teacher that was a Baptist, and he and I talked about this a lot. And he's a wonderful fellow. His name's Turnip Seed. Shirley, do you know Dr. Turnip Seed? Huh? Oh, Lord, I like Dr. Turnipseed. He gave me a girl when we had it cut open a rat. And he gave us all our own rat. So he gave all the males a girl to work with. And he worked with one other girl. But in any case, that girl was so squeamish, and there was this rat, and we had to name him. And I named him Elmer. I said, what do you want to name him? She said, I don't care. I said, oh, we'll just call him Elmer. So I'd have to reach down there and get him by the tail and pull him up out of that jar of formaldehyde and some other stuff. And we'd start the thing, and I'd cut open his stomach, you know, right down through here. And I'd lay it, and then I'd cut it over here just a little and lay it back. And I'd make her come over there. We were back in the corner. And I'd get over there, and I'd push her over there. I said, now, when you go through that line and have to identify all these things that he's got laid out on the table for the final test, I said, you'll need to know what that is. So I would show her the thing. I'd show her. Now, when you see that, and you see this here, and I'd tell her what the name of it was. And so when we went through, she did all right. She passed. But, boy, she hated that rat. Oh. She hated that rat. Kind of truth, I did too, because toward the end it started stinking. But, you know, God made rats, and everything in them works. You say, well, what was it that God didn't make? Well, he didn't make evil. That's one thing Satan created. And just passed it on and passed it on and passed it on. I don't believe God created evil. And he created, you say, well, how do you know that? Well, it says in the beginning, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and was not anything made that was not by the Lord. So, you know, he made everything. And why did he make mosquitoes? I don't know. Maybe he's going to have a big plague at the end, and we're going to get Nile virus. I have no idea. But I just know that I feel very secure. I feel very secure right now while I'm talking to you. I'm not afraid of hell, and I'm not afraid of the tribulation period. The only thing I'm afraid of is that I will offend God. I'm afraid of that. I don't want to offend God, and I tell him that all the time. And I ask him to stop me from teaching something if I start to teach something, because I don't want to offend him. You say, are you afraid he'll kill you? Not really. But I just don't want to offend him. Because anybody that does all this for me. Now the other thing that you'll want to take a look at, up here where it says, begin excerpt from Wikipedia. Keratinocyte is the predominant cell type in the epidermis. It's the outermost layer of the skin. You can touch it, but you can't see them. It's the outermost layer of the skin, constituting 90% of the cells found there. These keratinocytes found in the basal layer. Don't worry about that. It explains it perfectly after. It's the stratum basal. Lord, I got an education in doing this. Of the skin are sometimes referred to as basal cells or basal keratinocrats. Now, this is, they all fit together. They fit together with the melanin, the melanocytes. They're all in there working around. And if you go down to the beach and the sun starts hitting you and you start getting a sunburn, it won't kill you, but it'll sure give you a lot of vitamin D. And pretty soon you'll be, if you go down there every day, well, you'll be sorry. Now, that's number four. And let's look at number five. Because I don't want to keep you here all night. Oh. Well, you can look on there and you can see all, you got all this stuff in here, the calcium gradient, you got all this stuff, and you got new things introduced, and they are all tied to vitamin D. You don't want to get too much vitamin D, and you don't want to get too little vitamin D. If you get too much vitamin D, you'll die. If you get too little, if you don't get any, you'll die. Well, I'll just let you read this for yourself. It's not that I want to insult your intelligence, but this stuff is complicated, and we didn't know it. Why do we know it now? Well, I'll give you an opinion. O-P-I-N-I-O-N, nothing more or less. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be enclosed. He said, men shall run to and fro. He said, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. I think in the last days, God is putting some stuff out for people, saying, okay, if you won't believe me or the miracles, believe that I created you and that I have given you life. Now I want to give you eternal life. And I think that may be the reason. I keep using words like may because I'm not sure. But I'm sure glad I discovered this. And I don't think I discovered it. I think God led me to it. I didn't have any intention of going to Arkansas Tech University and becoming a geologist. I just wanted to pastor this church till I died, if God would let me. That's all I wanted. I didn't want to write any books. I didn't want to do any of that stuff. I just want to pastor this church and drive a school bus, and all of a sudden, God put me where he wanted me, for which I'm eternally grateful. Let's go on over to the last one. Well, this is the end of the two excerpts. This is what I believe, and I've shown you why I believe it. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth. It was the known earth, the old earth, but God knew they were going to spread across the surface of the entire earth, as we know it. And they left off to build a city. They weren't going to try to escape by their own works. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad from the face of all the earth. The descendants of Shem, Ham, and Japheth remained in the Middle East for some time before scattering to populate the planet. In the thousands of years that have passed since the scattering, I believe, I didn't say I know, because God didn't just come right out and say it, but I believe in the last days he meant for it to at least be known. I believe inner workings between the keratinocytes and melanocytes in the epidermis skin layers have slowly created permanent changes in the skin longitudinal due to annual yearly exposure to UVC or UVB radiation or UVA in the presence of psoralens. And I don't know what psoralens are, but that's what I believe. And take a look at this. And if somebody asks you about it, say, well, I believe that God created the heavens and the earth. And I don't believe that Ham was the youngest son, and tell them why directly from the Bible that you can't trace this back to Ham. And if they tell you it was Esau, was a white man, and Isaac was a black man, go back there and say, well, you know where that came from? And show them this thing. And that'll, as Barney Fife would say, that will nip it. Nip it in the bud. But I tell you, this is a wonderful time for us. It's a wonderful time because we're seeing all this be fulfilled. I remember when I first came up here, I'd go back over to church and I'd tell Imogene, this was a long time ago, I said, told Emma Jean.